Are you a really intense person who's really into sex and you're like kinky and non-monogamous? I was like, yeah.
Wait a minute.
You are listening to We Are the Stigma, a show about an addict husband and alcoholic wife challenging stigmas one at a time. We will be chatting with like-minded individuals using honesty, open-mindedness, and humor. Thanks for listening. Our episodes deal with potentially triggering topics. We are not doctors, and the opinions stressed are our own. If at any time you feel the need for support, please contact your local crisis center for more information or visit wearethestigma.com/resources.
Hey guys, you're listening to We Are the Stigma. My name is Melissa, and as always, I'm joined by my husband and co-host, Cody Kreutz.
Hey.
Hi, honey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. You're feeling better?
I feel good.
You feel good?
Yeah. You know, I was in a funk for a little while, a couple weeks. Seemed to run its course.
Good.
So I'm feeling a lot better.
Awesome. Yeah. That's what I like to hear.
Me too.
No more Funky Town.
No more Funky Town. Funky Town suck, dude.
I know.
I don't like feeling...
It's not a good feeling.
It's not.
You know, it's not a good feeling, but you're only human.
Exactly.
And sometimes we have to go to Funk It Down.
Yes, we do.
But we do want to talk about something serious for just a moment.
Mm-hmm. So we just want to make sure all of our listeners, anyone who's impacted by the fires that's going on, this is crazy. We of course have such a connection with people in Portland. Mm-hmm. We've had numerous guests on from there.
My sister lives in Washington.
Yeah. Your sister lives in Washington. I have family members that live up there. Yeah. Luckily, all of them are safe. None of their houses have been impacted yet, but we've seen pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have seen the pictures. I mean, it looks like Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, instead of fog, it's just all smoke. And they're telling me there's ash all outside of their houses. Their fires are, like, for some of them, like 4 miles away. I have a friend, Eric, who lives in Oregon City, who's had to leave his house.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
It's scary. And we are thinking of you all. We know that doesn't really do much to help, but let us know that we are here for you.
Yeah. That helps, you know,
yeah,
put the heart
we're
out.
We're putting our vibes. We're shooting our Care Bear vibes over there and thinking of you guys. Yeah, I guess like they said, like you told me the air quality is like the worst in the world right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. It's not even just like the worst, like it's by far.
Wow.
Like nothing else is even close.
Wow.
So it's really toxic.
Thinking of you guys.
And same with the people in California. There's lots going on there too. I mean, it's just, it's really crazy right now. So everyone, hope you're staying safe. If you've lost a home or if someone you know has gotten hurt or we're with you and we're sorry that what's going on for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But speaking of my sister.
Speaking of you, oh yeah, we did mention her. Look at that segue.
I know. That was good, huh?
That was good.
Accidental segue.
Yeah.
So my sister is visiting right now, which is awesome.
Yes.
Because I love my sister.
Yes.
And also I'm not worried about her inhaling any smoke.
Yeah.
Fumes. And her flight actually might get canceled because she lives in Washington and she has to fly into PDX.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But anyway, so she's here, which is amazing, and we're going to film. What are we
record?
Doing?
Record
an update episode with her, which we're so excited
about.
Yeah, yeah. But as you all remember, my sister was a co-host on one of our episodes when we did Venus and Tool, which was when we interviewed a witch, and it's amazing.
Such a good episode if you haven't heard it.
If you guys haven't heard it, check it out. But while I was looking for guests for that episode, I came across our guest who we're having today, who is Isabella.
Yes.
From the Sex Magic Podcast. Now, I don't even know how to go into how amazing Isabella is.
Yeah.
And she like just blew our minds and outlived any expectation we could have had.
Sure. Yeah, dude.
I didn't at first reach out to her a year ago because her Instagram had such a good following on the Sex
Magic
Podcast. Mm-hmm. And then earlier this year, a couple months ago, I was just looking through their host and I came across her page and I was like, oh my God, we have to get this on.
Yeah.
So Isabella is a sex advocate and a pleasure mentor. She focuses on body literacy and sexual sovereignty, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
Don't be scared if you don't know what that is.
We didn't.
Exactly. She's featured in Netflix's Goop with Gwyneth Paltrow. She has been on Sex with Emily podcast, which is one of my absolute favorite podcasts. So I totally fangirl
She tells a cool story about that too.
Yeah, she totally does. And I fucking love Sex with Emily. So if you're interested in sex, you should listen to that. And then she's also been in Vice. And she, like I said, has the Sex Magic podcast. And she has an erotic in motion class.
Yeah.
She teaches an erotic in motion
class. So let's talk about for a moment how good this interview was.
I mean.
So let me first preface it by saying that this is most likely not safe for work or not safe for around your kids.
Yes.
You know, we definitely talk about adult topics, sex. We talk a lot about sex. But I was just like, I don't know. She's so rad.
She's so amazing.
Like, she's completely found her passion. She's funny. She's knowledgeable. She completely embraces who she is. She 100%. Helps people on their path finding it. Mm-hmm. And I just find it's so interesting when you talk to somebody like Isabella, who is so real mm-hmm. and so in her groove, that there's so much stigma around sex. You know what yeah. I mean? Because you speak with someone like her who is so like liberated and yeah. you find so much passion in it and she's helping so many people. It makes it really interesting. And she's just like, she's got Australian accent, you know, that always
yeah,
helps.
Yeah, it was so cute. It was our first Australian accent. Yeah. But it's like, you know, you go into interviews, we try not to, with expectations. But of course, like, I think, okay, we're going to be talking about just sex and just like witchcraft, which like, we go into that, but that's not even really like the premise of the episode.
No, not at all.
It's just like, we're not just talking about sex for just to talk about sex to make people uncomfortable yeah. If it makes them uncomfortable or right. not. Like, we're just talking to this passionate woman who is just like literally living her dharma.
Yeah.
And like,
and she talks about her growth, like yeah. to come to it, the things she went through and mm-hmm. what not, I don't even want to say went through, the, you know, occupation she's had yeah. and things that she like built her up
yeah,
to the
what
point
led
she
her
is now.
There. Yeah. And it's just, she says in one part of the episode, she's talking about how like she works for herself, so she never has to pretend to be anything that she's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, she's just her all the time. And I love
just, like,
that. Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
To have a stream of income that you can support yourself mm-hmm. on and live your true self and mm-hmm. be yourself
yeah.
like at all times because 100%. You're the boss.
Yep, 100%. So yeah. she's just so passionate and just so kind and so non-judgmental. And it's funny because we didn't even know that she had been on Netflix.
No, right? Yeah. No, I didn't know.
We had watched.
You had sent me, you're like, hey, we should reach out to mm-hmm. her. Because I looked at her page. I was like, oh, we should 100% come on. And then once we got, like, of course, started doing background research mm-hmm. and, doing some figuring out what we're going to talk about in the episode, we
yeah.
found out.
We saw her on Netflix Scoop, so,
yeah.
which is an incredible show. If you haven't watched it,
yeah,
it's like
really
a
good.
Docuseries, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah, yeah.
With Gwyneth Paltrow, and they just are on a search for outside of the box things, and female orgasms is one of those things mm-hmm. that they search for.
Yeah.
I think everybody's searching for that.
Hey-o.
So, I don't know. I loved her so much.
Me too. It's like, I was, when we were talking to her, so I always get nervous.
Yeah.
I always get nervous.
For you were some, really nervous,
I
though.
Was really nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I have my own, like, I don't want to call them issues, but like, I have my own past uncomfortableness with sex mm-hmm. and, you know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And she's such a, like a positive person. And I get nervous anyways, but I was nervous before the episode, like full disclosure. Mm-hmm. I was very nervous. But this, it's like the second she got on, I was like, oh, this is going to be rad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have so many people who I am nervous before. And then like they say one sentence and I'm like, this is going to be a good interview. You can just yeah. tell, you
they
know?
Say hello. And yeah, we're like, hi, what's up?
How are you?
So no, you're right. And it's just, I don't know. It's...
Well, she breaks it down so well. Yeah. And it's just, she's just, it's just, it makes you just look at sex in a different way, right?
Yeah.
Without the preconceived notions and the good or the bad, the right or the wrong. Mm-hmm. This is just a person who's really, you know, like in her groove.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to see someone who, you know, she talks about waking up, she feels like she's living her passion
yeah.
and she's just vibrant for life. And
I mean, she was vibing high. And
yeah.
like, even when in the like witchcraft, I don't even want to call it witchcraft, but the witchcraft spirituality aspect of it, there was just so much like relatable
yeah
content
and yeah and I mean
she
and like
about.
Even when she talks about BDSM right
yeah
she
we've talks, done that before but also she brings it to an even different outlook
yeah
almost.
She's not well she like I felt like it was totally different like the mm-hmm. elements of BDSM like you know the aftercare after you
yeah.
after you have sex and like all these things were really interesting. She talked about how they can apply to anybody
yeah
and so it's like another aspect where you know you hear BDSM you're like or
yeah.
whatever but then you hear this you're like okay well there's something to that
yeah.
you know
and everybody can relate to it which is always our end goal.
Yeah. We both got off this interview when it was done. And we were like, that was good.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
really
I was
good.
Vibing high.
Yeah.
Like it made our whole day. We were just like, wow, my vibrations and my energy were just
me too.
So much higher.
Me too. Cause it felt like you were just talking with somebody who is so knowledgeable. Cause she also talks a lot about traumas and mm-hmm. the nervous system
That's
and like
true.
A bunch of really like important stuff that to me is at the forefront of
yeah.
trying to get people to help, you know, resolve their issues. Like
yes.
the nervous system is definitely something that a lot of people are starting to talk about.
Yes.
And she was so, you know, she just knew so much about that. So it was just really cool to hear her take it to these other levels where it's not just quote unquote just sex or whatever, which would have been fine anyways.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously. Yeah. But it was like, boom, she's taking it even deeper. Boom, yeah. She's taking it even deeper. And I was just like, damn, this girl is dope.
Absolutely. She was amazing. And I was just so excited. Me too. I'm glad that you enjoyed it too.
I really enjoyed it
a lot. Because I'm always the pervy one.
Yeah, you're the sex and the magic one, right? But what's interesting too is like how we both had this kind of, you've listened to her sex and sex magic podcast, but what the name of it is not what we thought it was, we'll let her describe. But it was just really interesting. We're like, oh, well, that's not even at all what we thought the meaning of the name was. Absolutely. So it's really cool. It's totally really different than what you think.
And I just know you guys are going to love it. So put in your headphones. Don't let your children listen. Yeah. Don't let your grandma listen unless she's into that stuff.
Well, no, I mean, she talks about her grandma. Dude, her and her grandma talk about everything.
That's
right. So if you talk with your grandma, turn it up.
Yeah, turn it up for grandma because grandma's still getting it on.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, guys, we just know you're going to love it. We're really excited going forward. Every day we're excited.
Yeah.
We're just so excited for this podcast. Yeah. I love it so much.
Me too.
And I love you guys so much.
Yeah, the good episodes are just going to keep on coming.
Yeah.
We ain't stopping.
That's what she said.
But yeah, hail. So make sure that you guys, if you have a moment, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and leave a written review. That would be amazing. We love getting that feedback. It really helps us along.
Absolutely.
And what does it do?
It helps us break that algorithm.
And we're trying to get this message out every episode to as many people as possible.
It's our only goal.
Yeah, exactly. We bring people on to share their message so that other people will hear it.
Absolutely.
So if you think somebody else can connect with this episode or any other episode, please share it with somebody.
Absolutely.
That's what we're trying
to
do.
That's all we want. And you can follow us at all social media.
Hello, governor.
All social media platforms _ We Are The Stigma.
Yep.
Twitter, Facebook. I mean, I literally was in my head like, don't say Twitter. Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
_ We Are The Stigma. You can reach out to us anytime you want. We are here for you. We love you guys so very much. Stay safe.
I keep seeing 11/11.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
You're on your path.
Hey-o.
Your sexual fat.
Yeah, that's right.
We love you guys so much.
Thanks
whether you have vanilla sex or spicy hot teriyaki,
kinky
sex, you guys are gonna like this episode.
Definitely,
I promise.
Definitely.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Isabella.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks
for coming on, Isabella.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to chat with you all today.
We are too.
So before we get into topics, which we're super excited about, we kind of asked like 3 little icebreaker questions.
These are going to be really difficult.
They're going to be so hard. So I hope that you studied. So we have 3.
I'm ready.
Okay. So our first question is, what is your sign and are there any traits that you really relate to?
Oh man, I think we should just do the whole podcast on this. I can talk about astrology all day. I use astrology in my work, in my personal life. So I am a Libra sun, Libra moon, Scorpio rising.
Wow.
My Mars is Gemini and my Venus is also Libra. Traits, yes. Are you kidding me? Some of the key traits of Libra is that we're very focused on fairness and equality. Mm. One of our learning edges is patience. So it's something that we're either really good at or we really struggle with, and decision making in the big and small world. So it will take me 20 minutes minimum to decide what I want to have for dinner and like 20 years to make a life decision. And so I really like relate with all of that. I feel I actually have 4 different planets in Libra. So I'm a very Libra person. I've always been really fixated on fairness and equality my whole life. And Libras also are ruled by our matron Aphrodite, who is the goddess of love and pleasure. And she's my matron.
Oh.
So I'm very, very connected with my Libra. And then my Scorpio rising, I'm also super connected with because my mom is a Scorpio. And my whole life, before I knew about astrology when I was a little kid, I was like, I know I'm a Libra because, you know, she must have told me. But I remember thinking, like, this is wrong. I'm not a Libra. I'm a Scorpio like my mom. Like, I wanted to be just like my mom.
Yeah.
And then when I got older and I learned about how to do, like, a full natal chart, I was so overjoyed. I think I cried when I learned that I was a Scorpio rising.
Yeah. Oh, that is so special.
I just felt really validated. And your rising placement tends to become stronger and stronger as you get older, particularly as you go through your Saturn return.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely been leaning more and more into my Scorpio energy as I've gotten older, which has been like a really, really beautiful journey for me.
Yeah, that's the first word that came to my mind was beautiful, because it's like younger you knew it,
and wanted it, even though you weren't being told that's what you were, but you still felt that connection. And so, like you said, when you ended up doing your whole chart, it just like super affected you in a positive
yeah.
way.
When I read my chart, I was like, oh, I really thought I was this special, unique person, but no, like it's all just written down here on this piece of paper of how I was going to turn out. It's like, it was wild. The astrologer was like, are you a really intense person who's really into sex and you're like kinkly and non-monogamous? I was like, yeah.
Wait a minute. That's like me when I read the AA book. Yeah. I'm like, I am a total alcoholic. Thank you. But no, that's beautiful and that's rad. And I wish that we could talk about that the whole
yeah,
episode.
That is rad.
Oh, I'm so interested. And like my Mars is Gemini, which means I think 10 different thoughts every single second. Like I always am going a million miles a minute and I talk really fast and I think really fast. And that's really different from Libras and Scorpio. So then learning about my Mars Gemini, I was like, okay, this is all making sense now.
That's
all
really lining cool. up. That's really cool. Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that. So our next question is, who would you like to meet dead or alive today?
Okay. So see my answer. Question number one, I'm really bad at making decisions.
We can edit it all out.
No, it's good. For me, like the Libra thing about decision making is we struggle to pick which is the most perfect option. There's this really beautiful poem about a fig tree where you sit at the bottom of the fig tree and you see all these beautiful figs ripening and you're thinking of them as your different life paths and you're trying to pick which one you want and they're all so amazing and they all would be perfect. And while you're waiting and looking and making these decisions, all of the figs start withering and dying and dropping to the ground around you. So that's been like my massive learning edge in my life. So I'm going to give you my first instinct answer,
good.
Which was my all-time idol, icon, person I look up to the most in the world, living still, thank goddess, which is Patty motherfucking Smith.
Oh.
Patty motherfucking Smith.
Yes.
And she's still alive. And that, I mean,
she is still alive. So, I've seen her once in concert and I cried the whole time and it was raining and it was incredible.
Magical.
Yeah, for real. Oh, that's so beautiful. So did you just say... Oh my goddess, did you say that or did I hear that?
Yeah, I try not to say oh my god.
Okay, because no, I love Sahara Rose and that's the first place I've heard it before and so I've never heard anybody else use it in a sentence. So.
Oh cool, who's that?
An Sahara author? Rose is like...
She's like a spiritual teacher.
I don't know if I call her guru. She's very into the feminist, like the feminism side. I'm a part of this group called the Rose Gold Goddesses, and every month they go over different goddesses and which traits you can try to bring out in your own life.
She sounds like my sister.
Yeah, she's great.
So much about you reminds me.
She's really great. She has her own podcast too. Mm-hmm. It's called the Highest Self Podcast, which is really focused on spirituality and obviously like
being your
highest self. And it's a great listen.
Really amazing. I'm going to check that out. Thanks for the back.
Yes, definitely do.
So what's the last one?
So the last question is, what's one positive experience from COVID that you could take away from COVID, if anything?
Oh, that one's easy. I have been teaching I normally teach this in person. It's called Erotic in Motion. It's a movement practice and I've never taught it online before. And when COVID started, I was thought, you know, I really want to create a space where people can feel particularly feminine essenced people who identify as a woman and non-binary folks as well, that they can feel that connection and that pleasure and that flirtation and that juice for life energy. So I created essentially a workshop. I created a weekly circle online from a workshop that I usually teach in person. So for pretty much the entire length of COVID, I have been teaching this workshop in a circle format as a weekly circle that has totally changed my life, as well as our regular members, as well as the members who dip in and out for individual sessions. It's been so beautiful and so profoundly healing. And I honestly could not have gotten through this quarantine period with the amount of grace that I have without Erotic in Motion. It's been such a game changer.
That's so cool. So do you mind just like going a little more detail? Is it getting in touch with yourself essentially?
Yeah.
Like your physical form?
It's kind of hard to explain, but the best way I can put it is it's a safe space where folks can explore their own sensuality and their sensual expression and their own eroticism and how to listen to the way their body wants to move and how their body wants to be touched. And it's really safe and sexy and supportive. And it's not overtly sexual. We're not like whipping out genitals or anything like that. It's sort of like freeform movement. I guess it's a little bit, we had a member last week who said that she's really into ecstatic dance, which I've heard about, but never done. And I think she was saying that it's a bit like that, but in an erotic sphere.
Got it. Okay. Very interesting. That. That's so cool. It's like, I mean, that's like a huge gift, right?
Yeah.
And it's something not only that's a huge gift for you, but obviously it for others, but it also carries past COVID.
Yeah.
You know, it's it's something that you can incorporate, and it's something that can be, you know, just a full representation of, or not a full representation, but a representation of who you are.
Absolutely. And I think we spend a lot of time, particularly for people who I would say like just loosely, broadly are in the same sort of sphere as me, in the sense of people who are interested in self-awareness and self-improvement, we can often get really, really stuck in our heads and in conversation and in talk therapy and in journaling and all of these really cerebral practices. And they can be great. Yes. And for me, it's not an either or, it's a yes. And movement is a really important part of my life and my wellness practice. And I think where we put an overemphasis on our mental abilities, and particularly when it comes to healing and trauma-informed healing, and so much of the time we can actually be using our bodies as this incredible tool for healing, but we disregard it in favor of more clinical studies and applications.
Right. I mean, it's like getting that energy moving around, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I totally agree with that. It's the mind-body connection, and there's so much, you know, there's so many studies coming out talking about trauma being stored in the body and all of those different types of, and I just totally agree with you. It's like this medical, it was forgot in, you know, the newest Western medicine about how important it is, this kind of, you know, aspect of energy and movement and doing all those things to release.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The more research you do on the history of Western medicine, the more you'll notice the you pronounced it well when you were doing my bio, but I'm really focused on body literacy and sexual sovereignty. And what you'll notice when you look into the westernization of medical care, particularly in the United States, is the sovereignty shifts from the individual, and they take that away and instead medicalize and industrialize it, so that you're then asking questions and looking for support and advice outside of yourself and your sphere. So for me, I think all of those modalities are fantastic, and I'm not trying to dismiss in any way, shape, or form science and evidence-based medical practices and anything in that realm. But I think it's important that they're complementary medicine, that we also feel really sovereign and whole in ourselves. So when we're seeking extra support, for example, with a medical provider, whether that's your obstetrician or it's your therapist, that they are someone that works for you. They're a part of your team. They're a teammate on your wellness team, but they're not in charge. They don't know better than you about your body and your pleasure.
I think that's brilliant.
I think that is such a good way to put it. I mean, it's like you're immediate. I mean, because that's, you see the person in the coat and they're telling you what's wrong, and you know, and you're just like, okay, yes, I understand. I will do that. Like you've completely given all of that over.
That's so true.
That's a really interesting way to put it.
Yeah, well, my background is in birth work, and then I transitioned to focus specifically and pretty much primarily, like 90% to 95% of my practice is on sexual wellness and body and pleasure and all of that good stuff. So I've really transitioned out of the birth world, though I do still work a little in it. So a lot of my body of research is around birthing people, reproductive health and justice, and before that, my education was in natural medicine. So that's kind of the base that I'm coming to a lot of my work from. I love to learn the science of things and learn the mystical aspect, and then figure out how I can weave them together in a way that whoever's learning from me, whether it's someone listening to me talk on a podcast, a one-on-one client, or someone in erotic in motion, that they can take those tools and figure out how that's authentic and tangible and practical in their life, so they feel like they're their own guru. I'm not trying to be anyone's guru.
That. I mean, I love the way you're phrasing things, right? Because the way that we look at medicine, everything is so, you know, and it's like you said, I love my doctor. I go to my doctor. I listen. You know what I mean? But at the same point, it's like, it's so by the book. Everything is so clinical. But I mean, and I think we, all three of us, can agree and have seen that we are spiritual beings, right? Yeah. And once you eliminate that spiritual, that mystical aspect to it, you're missing out on some real connection that on a cellular level that you can provide for yourself.
Absolutely.
And I just haven't really ever thought of it like that.
I know.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, so this episode is finished. Thank you. We've learned everything.
No, yeah, that's my beautiful. Core, I am very, very staunchly pro-choice. So that was like a very important foundational practice for me when I was first understanding, I'm doing quote unquotes with my hands for people listening, women's reproductive health and justice. But that model, that framework of being pro-choice has carried me through every area of my work. And I don't feel like the most American people, at least that I meet, are pro-choice in their own life. And I'm using that term that people will feel kind of triggered by and they have an idea of what I mean. But what I actually mean by that is that you have the full spectrum and understanding of every decision that you make, and you get to make that informed decision. Because the problem isn't, for most American people, the problem isn't a lack of access to choices, it's a lack of information about what your choice really is. So someone will say to you, okay, you're having trouble with your menstrual cycle, jump on this birth control, it will help. So for them, they feel like the problem is their menstrual cycle, the solution is birth control, but they don't understand what the full spectrum of that choice is. And that's a great choice for many people, but it's not a great choice for every person.
Yeah.
So whether it's, you know, your birth control, whether it's your pregnancy, whether it's the way you want to have an orgasm, whether it's how you relate to yourself as a pleasurable being, whether it's the way you feel about your body and how sexy you feel in it, I want you to have all of the knowledge and understanding so that you can make an informed choice about how you feel and what you want to do.
I love that.
Yeah, it's your way. I mean, it just kind of like a small example pops into my head about how, you know, Melissa and I are both in recovery. And, you know, when we've been in recovery, and the way the recovery's been is there's kind of been this one way, only one way to look at it, like abstinence only. And if you're not doing it that way, then you're a 12-step, then you're not really in recovery. And there's been such a huge movement now into the harm reduction field. And these people are saying there are choices. Like, you are not, just because you're not doing it the quote-unquote way, the right way, or the way that most people have been telling you to do it, doesn't mean you're not in recovery. Doesn't mean you're not working hard. Doesn't mean you're not worthy. And I think that applies too. 100%.
It absolutely applies, because particularly in a situation of any type of addiction, whether that's alcohol, drugs, sex, codependency, you know, food, it could be anything. When you're in an addiction and you're going through a recovery program, most people are transferring that feeling of out of controlness and feeling like they're in control of their addiction onto the structure of their recovery program. And that works for a lot of people, but that doesn't work for everybody. And for some people, that structure is going to feel oppressive and limiting, and it's going to make them feel like they don't have that sovereignty and agency. And for some people in recovery, you know what? Doing a little bit of mushrooms every year to have a dose of deep therapy is going to be really nourishing. And it's not fair for someone to say that they're not in the program.
Right. That's so true. Right. I mean, it's just mind blowing, because I think that when Melissa and I first got into recovery, we would have been one of those people, because that way worked for us. So therefore, it must be the right way. And then you start getting in recovery and you start meeting people and you realize I'm sure it's just the same completely for your field of practice and passion and everything. So I have a question for you, though. What is body literacy?
Body literacy, that's like such a common, what is body literacy? What is sexual sovereignty? Because I feel like I would like to figure this out. I don't know if I coined those terms or if I just, you know, read them in one of the millions of textbooks and books that I've read. But I think when I say them, people get a little bit of a spark and a feeling in their body of like, I kind of know what that means, but I want you to clarify it.
Exactly. So, yeah, we did a little bit. I just want to hear, like, looking up on, I just want to hear from you.
Yeah. So for me, body literacy means understanding how to speak to and speak with your body. So you understand how your body wants to eat, how it wants to move, how it wants to be touched, and you feel comfortable talking to your body and talking to people about your body. And then sexual sovereignty is, we need that body literacy first, right? Before we can have the sexual sovereignty. Sexual sovereignty is seeing yourself as the core, the still point in the turning world of your sexuality. And you have fully empowered that and in full agency of your sexual expression.
Mm. So Isabella, what brought you to this point in your life? Like, what drives this passion? And this
trauma.
Okay. There's always the trauma, huh?
There's always the trauma. So I have spent my whole life in total people pleasing, caregiving, codependency. If I had known about Codependency Anonymous, I would have gone to the meetings, you know. Sex addiction, probably, if we're real with ourselves. But the problem for me was always around control and lack of agency, and putting my worth in other people. So outsourcing my worth, whether that's personally, professionally, or sexually, into the validation of other people. So I had full performative sex in every type of sex I had. Like, I'm working my angles, I'm looking cute, I'm making sure my partner's feeling good, but I can't say that I didn't enjoy it, because there's something really enjoyable about that, but I certainly wasn't embodied. It didn't feel pleasurable to my body, we'll say that. I thought I couldn't really have orgasms with partners. I had had like a couple and they were super specific. And even my solo sex life, I call it fuckboy sex, where I was just getting in there, getting my nut and getting out. And it's like not cool. You know, even if people would go down on me, I would still be performatively receiving. Like, I wasn't even just laying down and relaxing and enjoying it and feeling it. And I faked all my orgasms. I've never said this on a podcast. I even faked an orgasm the very first time I had penetrative sex with someone, because I wanted to be someone that had an orgasm the first time. So instead of trying to get there, I just pretended it to be true. So that's what my shit was going on in my personal life, okay? Now that escalates to the point that I end up an immigrant in America with an abusive husband that's trapping me in this terrible situation. Wow. And I'm just like really at rock bottom. I'm also trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life, because I have devoted my whole life to women's wellness and I just don't really know where I'm going with it. So I leave my ex-husband. Hurrah.
Yeah, good for you.
Nice.
Hardest investing I've ever done, including shepherding my father through to the other realm of existence. It was even harder than that. And so I leave my ex-husband. And that was when I realized I have to, and this is kind of a triggering, confronting thing to say, and I'm saying this only as is applicable to my personal journey, and I'm not implying this is applicable to anybody else. I had to acknowledge the parts of myself that had not only gotten myself into an abusive relationship, but kept myself in one.
Yeah.
I don't take any responsibility for the abuse at all. That's 100% that other person's choice. But it was my choice to stay in that situation, even though there was a lot of elements to do with them abusing me through my immigration status. But for me, and I'm just really wary of saying that because I know what it felt like to be in that abusive relationship, and I didn't feel like I had any way out. And that was true. Until I got out, I couldn't get out, right? But then once I was out and once I was safe, I really had to address what parts of myself kept me there. And I realized I couldn't do that in partnership with anybody else. So I went through my second period of dedicated celibacy in my life, where I really tried to figure out how I could date myself and have sex with myself and fall in love with myself. And who even was I? And that was really complicated, a really beautiful period of my life. And so while I'm doing this work, I'm also trying to figure out what I want to do professionally. And I realized I did a lot of work with children and mothers and kind of translating between the kids and the mums. And figuring out how to each, a lot of my work is about translating, really teaching them each how to speak to each other and listen to each other. And I realized that was really good, but it wasn't quite what I wanted to do. And so that was when I became a birth doula. And that was an incredibly powerful portal in my life that really shifted a lot of stuff.
I mean, I could only imagine how
oh my God.
Beautiful that could be.
being in that veil between the living and the dead like that, yeah. I was like, this is my fucking purpose. Like, yeah. I have goosebumps just thinking about that yeah. time of my life. It was the exact same feeling I had as I was the death doula for my father. Just that I, as a Scorpio rising, I am very comfortable in the veil between the living and the dead. I've spent my whole life with one foot in each world. Like, I've seen ghosts and heard them since I was a little kid. You know, I've been a medium. It's a whole journey my life has been. But anyway, so birth doula, that's what I'm doing. And then I would do postpartum support for birthing folks. Mm-hmm. And what was being really mirrored back to me during that period was how, yes, they found the birth support helpful, but what they were really finding transformational was having someone who was really sex positively informed and educated to talk to about their transitioning relationship to their sexuality at this time. Mm. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you okay? That's really interesting. Like, I have spent my whole life listening to two things. One, where am I of service? And two, what feels good to me? And that was the point in my life where I was most actively pursuing both those things.
Nice.
And so I was really listening to people postpartum, and they were saying, this is what I'm needing. This is the support that's helpful to me. And then they started referring me out to their friends. And then it became people that are like, oh, my friend wants to see you, but she's never had a kid. Would you see her? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then it's like, well, my friend's in a relationship and they want to see you as a couple. Will you see them? Yeah, of course. And then, oh, well, my friend wants to see you, but they're not sure about their gender identity. Yeah, of course, you know. And so it just broadened and broadened. And I really was able to start weaving through sex magic, BDSM tools, a lot of different stuff to do with feminism into this practice until I was able to just keep experimenting and figuring out what it is that I was offering. And the current iteration of that is that I'm a pleasure mentor, but I am not really attached to any particular title or name mm-hmm. of the work that I do. I am only attached to the idea of me being a human being that likes existing, that feels pleasure in my job, in my day, in my life, and that is of service to people.
That's perfect.
That's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Like, you're like living your dharma.
Yeah.
I really am.
Because you just continued to do what felt right. You focus on serving others. I mean,
yeah. And you're not attached to the label. You know, it's so a part, it's deeper than the label. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wake up every day so grateful to do my work. And since COVID has happened, some of my one-on-one clients have needed to pause because they've lost their jobs. So I realize, okay, well, it's cost quite a lot to work with me because it's a huge level of energy output that I put out to my clients. Like, it's very intense, the amount of support and channeling that I give them. So it's a pretty high price to work with me one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So as that was been happening, again, I'm looking for what's pleasurable, where am I of service? I have more people than ever wanting support, but they can't afford it in the way that they have been able to. Mm-hmm. So I've, during COVID, been shifting a lot of my offerings into more group and community online spaces. And that has been totally transformational because I think I had got so fixated on the one-on-one work that I do that I forgot how powerful it is to be healing in community with people. And that's not news to either of you who I'm sure have been to like AA meetings and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something really profound about hearing someone in your circle share a trauma or a struggle that you have out loud, and you realize you're not alone.
Of course.
I mean, that's like the ultimate for me when I really started to recover is when I was able to finally first speak my truth in a group setting mm-hmm. and then have nobody look at me like I was some type of a freak and then give me a hug. And the people coming up to me afterwards being like, dude, I tried to kill myself too, or I tried to do these things too. And once you have that, it's like you get that safety and you get that comfort and you
get that community.
Which is such a running theme on our show.
Yeah, our show always somehow comes back to community. Yeah, I think that's what keeps the world going, really.
Yeah, community is a very big value in my life. And a lot of the professional work that I do is in unpacking, supporting people in unpacking their trauma and their sex negative narratives and helping them explore and experiment and embrace what their sex positive narratives and identity is. And it's a like kind of ongoing joke that I always make that like half of my job is just going, yep, that's normal. people go, yeah, but what about this specific element? If I'm like, yep, also fine, totally normal.
That's good.
And there's so much of that I think can be really amplified when we're in a group setting.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I'm really excited about continuing to listen to my community, figure out what exactly they're wanting, and continue to provide that support. And I have some really exciting community offerings coming up soon.
Nice. I mean, look at all that. It just came, you know, it's growing, changing, yeah, evolving. You're going with the flow. Love it.
Yeah. Cool. It's really funny too. One of the things I've been sitting with a lot in the past month is how much of my life I've spent in survival. I fought really hard to stay alive my whole life. I fought through crippling mental illness. I fought through suicide attempts and suicidal ideation. I fought through like homelessness, abuse, immigration, death of a father. You know, I've fought through a lot of stuff and really tooth and nail shit, you know, like mm-hmm. paycheck to paycheck shit. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I switched into this mode of my life of really recklessly following my calling, which I want to acknowledge comes also from a place of privilege, being able to do that, of just being a white person in this world, it mm-hmm. makes it a lot easier to do that. But as soon as I started following that calling, all of these doors just started getting thrown open for mm-hmm. me. And I still had to fight and prove myself that I was worthy of these opportunities. But I mean, to have, I think it was within the first 12 months, it could have been 24, within the first year or two of pursuing this work 100% full-time, like no more side hustles. We're throwing everything we have into this, you know, all the cards on the table. To be featured on Netflix was incredible. Yeah. And so surreal. You know, I cried the whole time. But that for me, it's so funny. People were like, aren't you so proud? And I was like, I guess. I think I was so removed from my personal identity within that because I was so fixated on to me that it was so magical. Mm-hmm. It, to me, I was just so struck by how magical it was to see my face and my name on Netflix. And to me, all that meant to me was it validated
right.
my journey. It didn't mean that this is exactly how it has to look forever. Yeah. But it just felt like, I call them breadcrumbs from the goddess.
Exactly.
I hear you, mama. Yeah. I'm listening. I'm eating the crumbs. I'm following the trail. So,
yeah. And that's the thing, right? It's like with you living your dharma or your purpose or your passion, you know, it's like you come from a place of service. And you also, when you're coming from a place of service, you're coming in a place of gratitude and, you know, you have all those emotions. So when you do have something like you get shown on Netflix, you can give that smile and that hug to yourself and to the universe yeah. and just like be like, yeah. wow, like this is really happening.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting. I mean, that's so beautiful. I could just listen to you for hours. So that's interesting about Netflix. So are you on, you're on Goop, and yep. which is the Gwyneth Paltrow show. It's an incredible show. Yes. You talked about microdosing and we watched that episode with
so
the shrooms.
Good. It's really good.
But so are you, are you on the episode about orgasms?
Yes. So the episode I'm featured on is episode 3, The Pleasure is Ours. And I'm featured alongside my all-time sex hero, Betty Dodson. I absolutely lost my shit when I found out that she was being featured on the episode.
Is she the one that they're interviewing that Gwyneth Paltrow is sitting with?
Yes.
Okay.
When Gwyneth is like, oh, I didn't realize the difference between a vulva and a vagina.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? So yeah, that was really, really magical. And I actually just learned 2 days ago that Betty Dodson is nearing the end of her human life in this iteration. And so for anyone listening that likes her, please dedicate your next orgasm to her because that was her request. So to be able to have done that in time, I guess, was pretty magical too.
It's like, and it's so interesting because I've watched every episode except that one. And I wouldn't say I'm in tune to my own sexuality, but I'm very like open to sex and to the idea of it and to the experience of it. And especially when it comes to other people, and I'm not in tune to my own sexuality. I wouldn't say that far, but so I could not watch that episode because it made me feel uncomfortable. Mm. And I do things like this podcast where we talk about
everything
yeah. right? Yeah. And I still couldn't bring myself to watch that. And so now I'm going to, but you know, and you didn't watch
it
either.
No, that's the one
babe,
I didn't watch either. I mean, I have my own issues, you know yeah. what I mean? Like 100%, like, you know, that I've, you know, a lot of things growing up.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so it's just so interesting. It just always strikes me when there are things that I can't face, even though I'm so willing to face everything else, you know? And
well, your sexuality is very tied in with your shadows. You know, it's all that root and sacral chakra work. And a lot of people that are into self-awareness and self-improvement focus on all these other areas of their life, and they feel like they're really evolved and developed, but then there's still this massive shadow that they don't want to talk about or address, their sexuality. So it's super common. It's really normal.
Thank you.
And also part of the science that's really important to me that a lot of people don't understand is the relationship between your nervous system and your sexual arousal system. And I talk about that at length in my solo episode on the podcast. So if people want to hear like me talk about that in detail, I'd recommend checking that out. It's a free episode. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of people, particularly who have been through trauma, you might kind of want to intellectually, you kind of want to explore your sexuality and be more evolved and dive more deeply into that. And you might feel like there's kind of this barrier, like you're saying, like, I kind of want to watch the episode, but there have a lot of like reluctance to it. And that just might be your nervous system saying, not yet, bitch. Like, you're not downregulated enough. You're not ready. And it's kind of like, for me, it's kind of the same thing as leaving my abusive ex-husband, where it's like, you can't do it until you actually do it. And that's just because that was when you were ready. And it's not, there's no moral value to ascribe to that. It's just, you'll be ready when you're ready, when your nervous system feels good.
Yeah, 100%. And when I do that shadow work, like you mentioned, because of course, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, like we're willing to work on these parts of ourselves and we're succeeding at that and we're growing and everything, but there are still those dark shadows that maybe we either don't want to face
or don't even know, or you don't apply it to being something that you need to work on.
Exactly. Or think maybe you already did fix it. So, and then Sex with Emily, she is like one of my, I don't want to say heroes, but I just look up to her so much. She's incredible. Her podcast is incredible. She's the first person who really like gave me permission to kind of talk out loud about being into sex positivity and having more open conversations with my husband. And, you know, I'm always just like, I give her all my sponsees. I'm like, you got to listen to her. Like, she's so good. So just knowing that you were on her episode is just so rad. I don't really know what else to say. So that was
cool. A very full circle moment for me too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I used to write for their blog. And then to be there in the studio being a guest, I'm very eloquent usually. I can barely talk about it because it was so surreal to me. I was like, oh, wait, I'm the guest. And hearing her do my bio, I was just staring at her with like my mouth open. I'm like, whoa.
I'm tripping out, man.
For sure. Yeah.
And she is like the nicest person ever. I love her. She's incredible. Cool. I am indebted to her forever. I feel so grateful just to know her.
So there's one thing that you touched on a little bit, and I want to definitely get into the episode. We actually did an episode. Our episode 2 was on BDSM and kink.
Fantastic.
And so I want to hear for you how that applies into what you're doing.
Yeah. So like we're talking about these shadows, I trigger a lot of people just by being out loud about who I am and talking about sex. And then when you add in the fact that I talk about BDSM, oh boy, people do not like that.
Taking it up a notch.
Yeah. I've had to do a lot of personal work on not taking people's projections at me personally and just acknowledging they're just a reflection of where they're at. And I just love them and send them unconditional love and healing energy and don't take it on board, as long as I can just run it through my framework first and make sure we're all good. But so for me, the main way I work with BDSM professionally is in the key principles of BDSM, which I see as separate from the physical actions of BDSM. So the key principles are around communication, consent, creating a container, managing expectations, and aftercare. For me, those are like the pillars. There's a lot of other things that fall in, but those are like the umbrellas, we'll say. So I use those umbrellas to create that structure within all of my clients' lives. And it doesn't matter what type of sex you want to have. Even if you're having quote unquote the most vanilla sex, you will benefit from increased communication, increased expectations, having a clear container, having good aftercare. That's just going to be good for you.
Absolutely.
And then also I like all the kinky side too. And I think for me, the the power dynamics and the masculine and feminine of it is all very, very interesting that we can weave in through our sex life, even if you're not interested in the practical applications. Like, you don't want to get floggers, or you're not interested in getting tied up or anything like that, is totally fine. But the structure and the principles are really, really valuable for everybody.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting too, because I think one of the real big takeaways that I took from learning and having someone talk about BDSM and kink, and it was just such a fascinating episode, was how much, you know, thought goes into it. Everyone, you know, if you're not aware of it, it's been around forever and millions of people do it, whether they admit it or not. And it's like one of those things where I just didn't understand this, how it's exactly what you're talking about, the structure that goes mm-hmm. into it, you know, the safe words and the, you know, communicating and talking, and there's people in the group, and you can know whether or not supportive. A person is, you know, if there's just the, you know, you get this community support in the same, mm-hmm. in the same way. And I just, when I walked away from it, I was like, that's just one of the reasons I love having these shows and talking to people about stigmas, is you have so many of your stigmas, and, you know, obviously Melissa and I still have some, mm-hmm. that's why we're doing the show, but you don't even have a basis for your stigma. Yeah. Like, you have a perception and idea about something, but then if you just sit down and talk to someone, have them share, you can really, and you're open-minded, you can really have it change for you.
Oh, absolutely. And like, God, stigmas, that's the whole thing. Because I'm like a queer immigrant, poly, kinky, witch.
Yeah. You got them all.
Yeah, I do. We could do a whole season with you.
Yeah, exactly. Season 3 featuring Isabella. Yeah.
Right? So I have a feeling on that. But it's kind of a joke I have, but I actually, it's not really a joke. It's like 80-20 a joke, which is that I can't imagine the stress of going back to vanilla sex. Like, to think about having sex with someone and not knowing what their expectations are and not knowing the ways they're going to give me feedback and how I can bring them the most pleasure and how I can process it with them afterwards is like, that just sounds so unappealing. Like, my pussy is dry just thinking about that. What? That sounds terrible. So it's not about like, you have to tie me up and beat me, though I'm not complaining. But like, I need that structure of the BDSM.
Tell me, what is the aftercare part? What does that look like?
Oh my gosh. Aftercare is amazing. It is the most overlooked part of BDSM. And for me, it should be. If you're only going to pick one thing to incorporate in your sex life from BDSM, I would recommend aftercare. Mm. So aftercare is very, very simple. It's just the process of supporting and taking care of yourself after sex. Mm. And no one does it. No one does it by default. We only can do it if we design our lives like that, because we're not conditioned growing up to do it. So even with solo sex, like, how many times have you had sex with yourself and then you, as soon as you come or decide you're finished, if you're not having an orgasm, you just jump up and get on with your day. Meanwhile, you just like moved so much shit and you have so much sexual energy, and maybe some traumas came up too. You know, sex, even by yourself, you can do a lot of healing and transformation, but definitely with partnered sex. Like, we want to be having conversations like, what was some of the highlights for you? Is there something I could do differently next time that would bring you even more pleasure? Is there something I did that was kind of like a bit whatever, or you just weren't that into? Things like that, that are going to inform future sex is really good, but also conversations like, how are you feeling afterwards? How does your body feel? What do you need? Can I make you a cup of tea? Do you want to be cuddled, or do you need to be left alone? Do you want me to run you a bath, or do you want to watch some TV? Would you like to take a walk? Do you need solo time? Like, it doesn't have to be, I'm giving a lot of examples, which would make it seem like an interrogation if you use the whole simultaneously.
You have 20 questions to ask every time.
Just throwing out examples so that people listening can have a couple of like tangible ideas. But really broadly, it's just the practice of supporting yourself and your partner, if you have one, post-sex.
Interesting.
It's like, how many people do sports and then as soon as the game is over, they all go home? Like, that never happens.
Right. That's true.
You wouldn't be a very good sports team if you did that. You need to talk about it. You need to have a game plan. You need to talk about how the game plan went afterwards. Yeah. Like, do you want to win? I'm trying to win.
You need to hug each other. Yeah. You need to high five each other.
Pat each other on the back.
Booty pat. Yeah. So that's incredible.
That's really interesting, because it is. It's just one of those things where it's like, you live, like, society or people live for the moment, and then it's over. And you just, all right,
see you later.
It's bizarre to me. It's so bizarre. Like, once you're on, this sounds wildly egotistical of me, but I will explain myself a bit further. Once you're on the other side of sexual healing, And that sounds egotistical. And because I think it's always a journey when you're an apprentice to your sexuality, you're always learning and you're always growing. Mm-hmm. But when you've moved through and out of that period, I guess, of really like default sex, that's what I mean. Looking back on it is so confusing to me. Like, how did I cope in those situations? Mm-hmm. And the truth is I didn't. I was building up trauma. I was adding and creating stress response cycles that I wasn't letting my body complete. And they just stack up like fiery, angsty little pancakes in your body until you explode.
Yeah. That's like your spiritual awakening, right? Like you can't go back.
Yeah. Once it happens, you look back, you're like, how was I doing that?
How did I survive?
Yeah. And like, I could have quote unquote vanilla sex with someone, but it would still have the structures and foundations of BDSM practices.
Mm. Yeah. That's beautiful. Great.
I love it.
So Isabella, what, so your podcast is sex, the Sex Magic Podcast, obviously. Yes. So what would you define as sex magic? Like I picture, you know, like a cauldron under the bed, you know?
So like cauldrons are cool.
Yeah. So what, can you explain that for us?
Yeah. People always are like, do you do blood rituals? What's happening? Is the room full of candles? Do you sacrifice a lamb? No, I've never done a sacrifice. I haven't done an intentional sacrifice, but I have had animals like die after I've done sex magic, but it was, well, they were moths. I don't know if that counts as animals, but it was
a living being.
Yes. Anyway, so for me, I can't define sex magic without first defining sex. And most people define sex as like penis and vagina. And like, one, I'm queer. So that's not always what sex looks like for me. Like sometimes it does, but not always. And even if I wasn't, even if I was heterosexual, like that would be very boring for me to define sex like that. So for me, sex as someone who, you know, explores and embodies a lot of tantra is just pleasure and connection. So I can have sex with a peach by just eating it really slowly and lusciously, or I can have sex with a playlist I'm listening to by just writhing around on my bed, listening to the music and really moving my body with it. So for me, that's sex. Mm-hmm. That's important. Magic is the ability to shift your consciousness at will. So when you combine those two things, it's being able to shift your consciousness at will towards pleasure and connection. And sex magic and BDSM are very, 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 very interwoven. One of the key things about sex magic is that you're always going to create, establish, and protect your container, your energetic container for what you're doing. So you're setting your expectation for your ritual, you're doing your ritual, and then you have a little bit of aftercare, essentially. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of intersection between those two things, but adding sex magic to sex or BDSM, whatever you want, really helps the intention for me. So I'm partnered. I have a primary partner. We've been together for 5 years. And even 5 years into having sex with this same person, before we have sex, we just go super cash most of the time. We're like, hey, what's your intention for this? Do you want to like be exploratory? You want to try something kinky? You want to just really connect with each other? Like, what's your mood? You're just trying to get your nut? Like, what's going on? And it's all good, you know? I call it like your sexual menu. What's on your sexual menu? So you tell me like 3 or 4 things, and then I'm going to pick what I want to order.
I like that.
And that really, really works for me. And that's sex magic. So you could say, I'm just going to role play that I'm in your relationship. You can be like, I'll be Cody. So I'll be like, Melissa, I really want to have sex with you. What are you in the mood for? Melissa's like, I really want to try getting tied up, but I'm also kind of in a hurry. And I really want to feel connected to you. And you're like, ooh, okay, cool. Well, would you be cool with me like restraining your wrists? And I could just like go down on you for like 20 minutes. And you'd be like, yeah, that sounds cool. All right. Great.
It's just working
and then
out.
You do that. That's sex magic. You just set your intention and you did it. Now, and also light candles. And there's so many different other elements of ritual that you can incorporate. But I always like to try to make sex magic as accessible as possible to people. That way they can experiment and figure out what feels authentic to them and resonates with them on a very individual level. And then that's going to inform the direction you want to go. And there's a lot of cultural appropriation in the sex magic and the magic community. I have Celtic, Gaelic ancestors. So a lot of my magic is around that and those ancestors. So I wouldn't recommend just randomly reading something and trying it out. I would recommend starting really small with just getting clear on your intentions, practicing your communication, and then seeing where your curiosity goes. You might be like, oh, well, I have, you know, I don't know, some Spanish heritage. So I'm going to look up into all the different beautiful Spanish goddesses I could work with. And I'm going to do a devotional to one of those goddesses. Or you could say, you know, I have Japanese heritage and I want to explore Shibari. So I'm going to go down that route. And I'm not saying you have to do what your ancestors did, but I think it's important to experiment with what feels really authentic to you and not just do a carbon copy of something that you've seen someone else do.
Absolutely. Yeah, make it unique to yourself.
I actually was just listening to that episode, your last solo episode, and you were talking about your ancestors and stuff. And I was like, well, I don't even know my ancestors. Like, how do I figure that out? And then I was like, going to look up like
23andMe.
Yeah, 23andMe. I was like, well, I better figure this out because I need to practice magic correctly.
Yeah, that's funny though, because actually that kind of speaks to particularly how we get really caught up in like perfectionistic narratives, mm-hmm. and how no matter what we like hear or read, we can still hold ourselves up to these really unrealistic expectations of perfection. Mm-hmm. But you know, just you can explore a little bit where you think you might be from and look into some of those practices. But if you're not connected to your ancestors, that's cool too. But mm-hmm. just experiment in your life and see what works for you. You know, try some candle magic, try some kitchen magic, try some green magic, you know, and figure out what feels good to you. It's not really about it having to be your ancestors. It's just about developing an authentic practice that feels really good for you.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I do feel like I have that practice right now with magic. So that's
there you go. You're nailing it already.
Yeah.
But the episode, I loved it. But yeah, of course, inside I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing it right. Am I Portuguese? Yeah. I don't know.
Mom, you never taught me.
Yeah. Call my mom. Who are you?
Am I really your daughter?
What do you like in sex, lady?
How do you practice honestly, like, I know you're kidding, but like, I talk to my grandma all the time about like what her practices are in her life, like what her mothers are, what her mother's are, like how she relates to sex in her body. Like, I really like having those conversations with my elders.
Well, that's cool, because it's like, you know, it's like there's a stigma around talking to your, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you break down that barrier, you can, and it's, you accept sex as being something that everyone does or mm-hmm. in some way does.
Oh, my grandma gets it. She's I swear awesome. She has more sex than me. My mom.
I love that.
I have a sex positive Facebook group for women that my mom is in. So like sometimes we'll be chatting and she'll be like, yeah, like I saw more than I wanted to. I'm like,
that's so cute.
You can just keep scrolling.
So right. Good. Yeah. Keep scrolling, mom. That's great. So this has been in fucking incredible. Yeah,
so good.
It's gone above all of my thoughts or hopes or dreams
or aspirations.
Everything. So before we finish up, we always like to ask if there's anything that you would like to touch on or anything you feel like we left out.
I guess I would just say, like, going back to your theme of the stigma,
mm-hmm.
is one of the things I really realized that was very helpful for me in my journey was looking at the, this is going to sound strange perhaps, but looking at all of the insults that I most commonly was like received as a young person growing up and trying to figure out who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And they were usually that I talk too much, I'm too intense, and I'm too fixated on sex.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the main criticisms I got. And being able to really reflect and listen to them was actually where I learned where my superpowers are. Mm-hmm. My superpowers are communication. Like that Mars Gemini, like I love to talk. I love to listen. I love to read. I'm very intellectual and verbal. Got that Scorpio rising. So I'm like, let's talk about your shadows. Tell me about your trauma. What's going on with your pussy? Have you ever had it in the back door? What's going on there? I will go there with you. You know, I have people that are like cashiers at a rental car place telling me about their sexual trauma. And my partner afterwards is like, wow, is that what it's like to be you? Yes. It's always, people always do that with me. And it's because they feel comfortable. And that was something that I internalized and judged about myself for a really long time before I realized, fuck what other people say of me.
Right. Preach.
And what their negative ideas of me are. And, oh, I'm too queer. I'm not queer enough. Or I'm too kinky. Or I'm not kinky enough. Or I'm too magical. You get the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm too masculine. Or I'm too feminine. And instead, just throwing off all of those, I guess, stigmas, those negative ideas and expectations people have of you, and just really figuring out what your personal brand is. That's why I'm always talking about sovereignty and authenticity. Because there's so much, particularly in any of this like new age spiritual worlds, I'm rolling my eyes for people that can't see me. there's so much like judgment and imposter complex, and like people just feed into that with each other. And the thing is, your personal brand, your personality, all of the books you've read, all of the courses you have taken, all of the conversations you've had, that has built up into this beautiful, incredible human being. And there's someone that's going to really resonate with what that is. Like my partner and I talk about this all the time. We both consciously made a decision about a year before we met each other, or maybe like 6 months before we met each other, to stop managing other people and to just be 100% ourselves when dating and just wait until we meet someone who can also be 100% themselves. And that just clicks. Mm. And we both were like happy with the realization that we might never meet that person. And then boom, 6 months later, like here we are.
There it is.
We met each other, we've been together 5 years, never been happier. Yeah. And I'm just 100% myself with my partner and with everyone. Like that whole idea of range shifting, I heard that recently, like tone shifting. I don't do that. Like I will talk to my grandma about anal sex. Like that's fine. I am self-employed. You know, that's a massive privilege that I've established for myself. So I can just be myself all the time with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like the same thing in my Facebook group. Like sometimes I'll want to post a picture of me like all tied up in lingerie with some shibari and stuff. And I'll think, oh, I don't know. Like this might be a lot if my mom sees it. And then I think, you know, I'm just out here. And if you're, or early, you know, I talk on podcasts about controversial stuff too. And I think, oh, what if my grandma listens to this, you know, my aunt. But it's like, if you're seeking out that information about me, yeah, cool. It's there for you to access. And mm-hmm. I'm not offended if you don't like it or you think it's too much for you. Like that's just you where you're at on your right. journey.
Absolutely.
And so I just really want people to start exploring, experimenting with what feels authentic for them. And then just I do a lot of work with the nervous system. We have a practice called titration, which is a little bit at a time. It's how we can take on things in our nervous system. So experiment a little bit at a time with who you feel like you really are at your core. And then again, a little bit at a time, experiment with sharing that with people that your nervous system feels safe to share it with, until hopefully you get to the point where you feel just unapologetic and you can just be yourself out loud and proud. And if people have an issue with it, that's just their trauma that they're trying to project onto you, and it has nothing to do with you.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
that kind of, so we always ask the question at the end. I think that kind of answered
yeah,
it.
That
we
did.
We always ask if you could go back and tell someone
who's struggling,
or for yourself or somebody else when they're struggling, what would it be? I think that probably lines up pretty well with what you would probably
yeah.
have said.
My advice would be just stop making yourself small to fit another person or another situation
yes.
and find a bigger situation. Find a Aww. Bigger person. Find someone with bigger hands to hold you and make more space at the table if there feels like there's not enough for other people.
I love you.
There's just like an unlimited amount of love and potential and goodness in the world, and I'm tired of people acting like there's only enough room for them. And if there's not enough room for someone at a table that I'm at, I'm going to make a bigger table for
Damn
them.
Damn right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Preach.
Because that's on the table I want to be at.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
You want to be at a bigger table. So just, could you just, before we say goodbye, can you let us know where we can find you, where our listeners can find you, if that Facebook group is available that you mentioned?
Yes. So you can find me, the best place to find me is on my website, which is isabellafrappier.com. And you can also find me on Instagram. I'm pretty active there, fortunately or unfortunately, at Bella Took a Photo, easy to remember handle. I got on that shit early and kept it locked down. And my Facebook group is a little bit harder to find. It's called Sex Positive Universe for Women. The E in sex is an asterisk because otherwise Facebook will take your shit down.
Wow.
Women is with an X. I may change that eventually. I initially did that to be inclusive of all folks that identify as a woman, but I've lately been reading that there's kind of like turfy undertones of that, and that's the last thing I want to project. Anyone who identifies as a woman in any type of way, shape, or form, or a femme person, also non-binary folk are welcome in that group. The password is orgasm. And if you can't find it, you can just hit me up in the DMs or you can email my team at welcome@isabellafrappier.com, and we will get you hooked up with whatever type of support you need, regardless of your income.
Wow. Well, keep
so
doing
good.
You.
Yeah.
Keep,
dude.
Just keep.
I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Just changing the world with your vibration and everything that you're doing. So
thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you today.
Yeah,
you too.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Juiced up.
Good. Yeah, we good. Do too.
Too.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye, Isabella. Bye.